Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go, hour two on a Wednesday. Live in Los Angeles, it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be watching, listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Good to be here. Yeah, it's my birthday. It's no big deal. No reason to mention it to anybody. No big deal. I am having banana cream pie tonight.
You're not actually a huge birthday person.
Not really. No, after you're 11, I think it's time to get over it. But nonetheless, there are people in my life it matters a lot to, and I want to be aware that not everybody sees the world as I do.
Well, that's nice that you do that, because some people who aren't birthday people are really cranky about it, and that makes it not fun for everyone else.
Yes.
And really, your birthday is about everybody else.
Yes. So it's some people, that's, you know, it's like there are certain things that, you know, I'm not really an award person or a date person in terms. I don't care about that stuff. I'm a day to day work hard, grind, do your stuff. I never liked Christmas as a kid. I liked the presents for about 10 minutes, but I was like, yeah, but all the good TV shows are off. I got out of my normal like day and routine and pace, and
I'm a big routine person,
so
but
I
like to shut it down hard when
okay.
I do.
All right.
So that's why I'm a big holiday person.
So I want to start this hour with this. So Mike Lombardi used to work at this network. He's a former GM, Belichick guy. I think he works at The Ringer now and writes books and stuff, and he's got podcasts and stuff. And it's interesting. He's always been a big culture guy. Culture over strategy. Culture, 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 culture. And he was ranking the 6 job openings, and he had the Jags 1, the Texans 2, and like the Jets 4, and they're all awful cultures. And he said, hey, Jags is 1 because they got Trevor Lawrence. So I think culture is really important too. But those are bad cultures. So what does it mean? The most important thing to do with the Jets and the Jags and the Texans, it's not a play caller. It's a culture changer. Urban Meyer is easily the most qualified culture changer. Now, I know there's Urban Meyer skeptics. Peter King on my show yesterday.
I would love to interview Urban Meyer for an NFL head coaching vacancy. You know, how are you going to like losing in Jacksonville? And I'm not saying you can't win in Jacksonville. You can. But you will undergo significant days and weeks and maybe months of losing.
Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy are great potential play callers and hard workers with experience. They've never changed a culture. What Colin Sean McVay did not get his job because of his playbook. He walked into the office. And if you've ever met Sean, he just pops. He's so dynamic. Stan Kroenke's like, we're not letting him out of the office. What about Matt Rhule? To my point, he's a culture changer. He went to Temple and Baylor, bad football programs. You didn't give Matt Rhule the job in Carolina, and I thought he had a very good year despite not winning much. He changes cultures. Because I agree with Mike Lombardi. I think culture over strategy, over play calling. You got to change the culture. The greatest culture changer in the history of college football was Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin. They were a terrible program. They were the pits. Like cold weather, no players. They have been for the last 25 years since he coached and was the athletic director, a top 10 football program. The state still has no high school football stars. Like that's changing the way people view themselves. So Urban Meyer 4 times has not only changed the culture, he's done it overnight. Bowling Green was awful, 2-9, next year 8-3. Utah, I was there, was a mess, 5-6, next year 10-2. Florida was talented, 7-5 to 9-3. The next year they won a national title. Ohio State 6-7 to 12-0. That's just not changing a playbook. That is changing the way young people view themselves. How the program sees itself. You got to have confidence. That's what Urban does. He is a culture changer. Now, by the way, not every coach needs to be a culture changer. Let me give you an example. when Matt LaFleur got the Packers job. You didn't need a culture changer. Packers culture's fine. Packers win all the time. Get Aaron Rodgers. You didn't need to change the Packers culture. What you needed to do, you needed a tweaker. You needed somebody that could get in there, Matt LaFleur, and kind of connect progressively, young, good-looking, smart guy with a young, good-looking, smart quarterback. Just kind of tweak it. Just kind of tweak it a little bit. Kind of refine it. Push Aaron a little bit. Make Aaron just a little bit uncomfortable. You didn't need an overhaul. Green Bay didn't need a culture changer. By the way, I don't think the Chargers need necessarily a culture changer. They may just need a play caller. They led in most of their games this year. Competing and leading was never a problem. Holding the lead was. They may just need just a play caller. Get leads, figure out how to get first downs. That was their issue late. So I get, and Urban's not a fit for everybody. He would be, I'll give you an example. I don't think Urban Meyer would be a great fit with Aaron Rodgers if he went to Green Bay. He's too big. He's too powerful. I mean, he comes in there and just blows through the door. He may have been too much. I'd say the same for Sean McVay. Sean McVay's system and style, Aaron would have been, whoa. I'm good here. I got Super Bowls. There are, you know, the Rams post Jeff Fisher needed somebody to blow through the doors, change the playbook, change the practice schedule, change the way they viewed themselves. So I'm not saying Urban's perfect for everybody. Jets, Texans, Jags, yeah. You need to blow through the doors, change the way everybody in the room views themselves. So I was thinking about this morning. There's a story out that the Miami Dolphins, they're good with Tua. Listen, it's early. Let's not go crazy town. He won some games, had some nice plays. But this morning I looked at the 14 teams in the playoffs. And the 9 teams who you'd kind of think should be favored to win games this weekend. The Chiefs, the Bills, the Steelers, the Titans, the Ravens, the Packers, the Saints, the Seahawks, Buccaneers. What do they have in common, 9 of the 14 teams? Those are all A's. Bruce Arians may be an A minus to a B plus. McDermott, Tomlin, Harbaugh, Vrabel, Reed, Matt LaFleur, Sean Payton, Bruce Arians, Pete Carroll. Those are A coaches. Arians maybe A minus, little risk it biscuit thing. And the quarterbacks, don't you dare scoff at Ryan Tannehill. Since he started last year, week 7, he's a Pro Bowler. He's an A quarterback. Josh Allen, Ben Lamar, Ryan, Patrick, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, Wilson. Those are A quarterbacks. Now, you can argue some of those quarterbacks, like Big Ben, it looked like a B plus, a B for some of the year. But if you combine the coach and quarterback, your average is at lowest, because Brady had an A plus year, A to an A plus year. Arians maybe had a B plus year. They all average A minus. They're all teams we think could win in the playoffs. Then there's the Browns, Colts, Washington football team, Rams, backup quarterback, Bears. We don't feel that way. So here's my issue. Brian Flores appears to be an A. It's early, but I'll give him that. Tua right now looks C minus. The problem is his ceiling looks like C plus. He's small. He is not hyper athletic. His arm strength is okay. Now I'll give you an example. It's not about winning games. When Josh Allen from Wyoming came to the NFL first year, he really struggled. It was some ugliness. But we went this morning and found his 13-minute highlight film of his rookie year. It is a bunch of whoa followed by a bunch of wow. Out at 6'6", outrunning people to the end zone, running over people, jumping over people, 65-yard post routes on a dime. His ceiling, you couldn't see it. The house had no roof. He looked insane. He was just inconsistent. But you could see the A. He just had a lot of D. So the average was about C, C minus. If you went and found Tua's 13-minute highlight film as a rookie, there'd be about 4 minutes of it. And then at the 4-minute mark, Ryan Fitzpatrick would come in on that tape and finish it out. That's the problem. is that if Flores is an A, Tua could be a B plus A minus and get you into that A minus needed average coach quarterback that we see as a Super Bowl team. But if your ceiling looks like a C plus, even if Flores is an A plus, I'm not saying you can't win games. I'm not saying you can't occasionally win a division. But if you're in a division with Josh Allen, that's my issue. Now, we went and looked at the last 17 Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. 15 will get into the Hall of Fame. There are two exceptions. In the last 17 years, Joe Flacco had the greatest four-game stretch, not only of his career, it was one of the greatest four-game stretches of a quarterback's career. And then Nick Foles had his best game as a pro, and since then it's been nonsense. The other 15, going to get into the Hall of Fame. And when you start watching, I go back to the whoa or wow is what I need to see early. I saw it with Burrow. I saw it with Herbert. I saw it with Josh Allen. I saw it with Lamar Jackson. I saw Patrick Mahomes. I saw it with Aaron Rodgers. Whoa or wow. You got to give me a little bit of that. You watch Justin Fields from Ohio State, Trey Lance from North Dakota State. You watch Zach Wilson, BYU. What you see on YouTube, and you saw it with Justin Fields last week, you see some whoa and wow. You see inconsistencies. You see they got a lot of room to grow. But you got to give me one of those words, hopefully both, a bunch of times. Whoa, wow, oh. I just don't see it. I see B minus C plus, size, arm, escapability. Maybe I'm wrong. It won't be the first time. It doesn't happen. It's infrequent. But I don't know. Stuff I worry about. 9 of the 14 teams that you think have a chance to win a playoff game, the head coach and the quarterback combo is in that A plus. Andy Reid and Mahomes, A plus. McDermott, Josh Allen, A. You know, Brady Arians, A minus. That's kind of where you got to be. Eric Woods, a former Buffalo Bill, Pro Bowl offensive lineman. He was a pancake guy, a road grader, smart, funny guy. Now doing some podcasting, broadcasting, really, really smart guy. He's going to be joining us next. You know Bills Mafia. I've been into this for now a month. I think they're the best team, and I think they're the best team right now in the AFC easily and would trounce Kansas City. I really do.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday on Fox, MVP candidate Russell Wilson leads the Seahawks against Aaron Donald and the Rams. It's all part of Super Wild Card Weekend, Saturday at 4 Eastern, 1 Pacific on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
I bet the Rams 4.5. That game I've got, I just think, I don't know how, Seattle right now is a mess. They can't figure it out offensively.
Yeah, I don't know which way to go in that game.
Yeah, there's so many teams I like, and as I've said for the last month, I think Buffalo's the best team in the NFL, and I think Green Bay is the only one right now that would give them a game. I mean, that's how strongly I feel about them. You know, I've said this. One of the things in life, who do I root for? I don't really root against people, but I do root for people. I root for people who deeply care about stuff. I spent some time in Tampa, Florida, and Florida Gators were big. And I've always said this about SEC fans. They care more. They want it more. It means more to them to win. Here out in L.A., UCLA, win, lose, beach is still nice. But in the South, it matters more to them. So I don't think it's great for the sport that they dominate it, but it makes me happy that they care that much. And I would say that about Green Bay or Buffalo. People in Buffalo, they don't have an NBA team. They're not glamorous. They don't have a coastline. You can go to Niagara Falls. The winters are harsh. The Bills mean so much to the community. I find it easy to root for teams like that. Eric Wood was played for a decade in the NFL. He was a pro bowler. First round pick, by the way, on the offensive line. Now doing some broadcasting. The former Bill Pro Bowl Center is joining us live. So, you know, Buffalo's a unique place. Yesterday I had Josh Norman on, and he's like, Buffalo was the last place I ever wanted to play. And he's like, I'm having the time of my life. Eric, explain to people, and I've never been to Buffalo, but explain to people what it's like to be a member of the Bills.
It's pretty special. And you just hit the nail on the head when you said places like Green Bay and Buffalo are different because it is a smaller town. There's not as much to do. When we leave the stadium at night, there's more people getting together. It's that more family atmosphere. You've heard Sean McDermott talk about it as a lot. But when the free agents come into Buffalo, they're always amazed by what the family culture is in Buffalo. And some of that just comes from having a small town. But Bills Mafia has gotten a lot of notoriety lately, and it's a passionate fan base. You compared it to SEC football, and I would compare it to a college crowd at times, the way they live and die with everything that the Buffalo Bills do.
What concerns you about the Bills? We know McDermott's excellent. Josh Allen is special. Stephon Diggs is unguardable. Is there something you could see in the first quarter against the Colts? And it does, you may not want to talk about it because you love your Bills, but it does, you could see something this weekend and it worries you about this favorite in round one.
Yeah, they've just played so loose and so good these last 6 weeks that any adversity early on could maybe remind them back to that 16-0 playoff game last year when they had the lead on Houston, yeah, and they ended up not being able to complete it. So just something getting them tight, because right now they have it absolutely rolling on both sides of the ball. So could Indianapolis come out and Frank Reich, the former Buffalo quarterback, could he go up there with his team that rushes the football well, suck the life out of the ball a little bit? They're number two in the NFL, the Colts are, in turnover differential. Maybe they get a turnover early. That kind of stuff would scare me, but this team in Buffalo is so good that their confidence shouldn't be shook by one or two bad plays early.
So you retired. You would have played and been a Pro Bowler for multiple years. You had a neck injury, a little like Chris Spielman. You're like, I'm going to hang it up, be safe, be with my family. You did that. You were both great players. But some guys, you know, I watched the special on Tony Baselli last night. He played 7 years. For seven of them, he was the best left tackle in football. That's right. The sport. But you know Sean McDermott, and you know Anthony Lynn, by the way, too. But when it comes to Sean McDermott, when did you kind of know you know, you still have a lot of connections there. What's his secret sauce? Every coach has a thing. McVay's dynamic. Belichick's intellect. What's McDermott's secret sauce?
It's likely culture. He started it with talking about the process. And the process started in training camp. My last year in the NFL, his first as a head coach, when we got rid of Ronald Darby and we traded away Sammy Watkins, and we would not long after get rid of our previous highest pick, and that was Marcell Dareus. But what Sean McDermott wanted to do was get guys that fit his certain DNA, and those are all really good players, superstars in the league in some sense. But when you looked at how Sean McDermott wanted to build the team, it was a little bit different. And I'll never forget sitting in a meeting before the season. We still had a lot of talent on that team. LeSean McCoy, Kyle Williams, a number of Pro Bowlers from that season, Richie Incognito, Tyrod Taylor. And we're looking at Sean and saying, hey, if you want to tank, you're going to have to get rid of a lot more of us. He said, no, this is a part of the process. And people in Buffalo, I mean, there's shirts about it. There's Joel Embiid references to it, but it truly has been about the process there, and that is setting up a culture built on trust. He's very good at communicating with the guys. He walks the walk. He's extremely organized. He works out himself. Everything he does is consistent, and the consistency he brings on a day-to-day basis is what makes him special.
Now, you know, Eric, there is a big difference between a regular season game and a playoff game. And the Bills, I still tend to think of the Bills as mostly a youthful team. They feel youthful. And, you know, some of that is just, frankly, Josh Allen.
Right.
But the difference when you've talked to pros or you've experienced from regular season intensity to playoff intensity.
Yeah, so I only got one experience at a playoff game myself in 9 years. But we did break the 17-year playoff drought in my final year, which was pretty special. But it does go up a notch. It feels like a primetime football game where the defensive line all tries a little bit harder. It feels like that, but it's everybody on the team. And when it's go home, win or go home, there's just so much on the line. Luckily for these guys either experienced the game in early 2018 that I was a part of, the playoff game, or last year, most of the team played in that game against Houston last year or came in through free agency with playoff experience. I'm glad that this is no longer Josh Allen's first time in a playoff atmosphere.
Eric Wood joining us, Pro Bowl offensive lineman, formerly of the Bills. Not that I didn't think Stephon Diggs was great, but Josh Allen was young. Stephon Diggs is a star. And there was part of me thinking, okay, here comes Stephon, like OBJ to Cleveland. I'm like, I'm not sure if this fits. Josh Allen's a kid. It's Buffalo. Stephon Diggs feels like New York City feels. And there was a little bit of me that thought, I got to keep my eye. It's been great. Are you surprised a little that it's not only fit, it's the best combo right now in the league?
Yeah, I'm honestly surprised. I'm not surprised if you said make a take maybe week four or five of the season on, but if you would ask me preseason, I could never have foreseen this. I would have never foreseen that Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, would open up the playbook to even give him the amount of opportunities to lead the league in receptions and catches. You combine that with the fact that they had no OTAs. They had no preseason games. So really a lot of their reps with full speed was happening in games. And we got to see them grow throughout the season to where this last month of the season, Stephon Diggs is virtually unstoppable.
Yeah. So Pro Football Focus put Josh Allen number five. When you, so you didn't get, you were 217. When did you first hear, when you're retired and you still got all your buddies in the locker room and Josh Allen gets drafted, when was the first text or call you got from a former teammate that said, dude, this guy, holy crap. Oh, brother. Like, do you remember the first impressions by your former teammates?
Let me start off with this. My first interaction with Josh Allen was I was with Ryan Fitzpatrick down at the Masters in early 2018 prior to Josh getting drafted. They have the same agent. We connected down there, and my career had just ended from the neck injury, which came out of nowhere. So for me, I was thinking, hey, I just signed a contract extension with the Bills. Maybe I get a young guy to pour into, especially at the quarterback position, to where one day my kids go back up to Buffalo like, hey, that's daddy's buddy, whatever it may be. I meet Josh Allen, and I thought, you know, I'm not really going to be bitter about this season at all unless they take Josh Allen and he's a stud, because this is my type of guy, just spending the weekend with him. And Colin, I'm sure you've had experiences with him. If you spend any time with Josh Allen, he's one of the most likable people you've ever been around. He's also hyper-competitive. He's tough. So that all kind of rang true. So my opinions of him that were formed in a weekend as training camp started and OTAs and everything else that was going, all the guys on the team were like, man, you would love this dude. I'm like, I know. And you know what? Josh has been so gracious to me. I still have my foundation up in Buffalo. He's so generous with his time. He's just a phenomenal dude. He's so easy to root for, though.
Yeah. Well, I know you'll be nervously watching this game because I know how much Buffalo means to you and your charity and your family. And I know you're going to be watching this thing getting anxiety like you're playing in it. I'd love to have you on again, Eric Wood. Absolutely. Doug Gottlieb said, get Eric Wood on the show. We did. You're great. And thank you so much.
I appreciate it. Bills win. Let's do it again next week. And before I go, I just want to say happy birthday, Colin. And I've always been a huge fan of the show, so it was an honor being on for the first time.
Oh, that's nice. Look at that, Joy. Isn't that nice? That was very nice by Eric Wood. It'd be nice if Baker Mayfield came on and wished me a happy birthday, but let's not go crazy here.
He might still tweet you. You still have a day left.
Yeah, that's right.
Baker. Now, that would be good TV. That would be great content.
Yeah, yes, it would. Thanks, buddy. Nice talking to you. Eric Wood. We're going to have him on again. All right. That was fun. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, the Browns obviously have gotten a lot of bad news this week, and wide receiver Rashard Higgins and offensive lineman Jedrick Wills were reportedly cited for drag racing close to the team's facility on Tuesday. Both players have seemed to shrug off the incident. And now deleted tweets. Higgins joked his foot slipped and he was just trying to get away from COVID. Wills also tweeted that people were blowing it out of proportion. The Browns said they're aware of the incident and will gather more information and handle the issue appropriately. It seems as if the two of them were at a light and
yeah, this seems
they tried to speed out. It's blowing a little bit out of proportion.
A little bit? This is a non-story.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically me at every light in Los Angeles.
I'm going to give 22-year-old guys in their new cars looking at each other in a stoplight, 4 seconds of pedal to the metal. I'm going to give him a pass on this.
Yeah, Jedrick tweeted, so nobody has ever tried to beat someone off the line at the red light for max 30 meters, blowing it out of proportion. Yes, but this is what happens when you're the Cleveland Browns and yes. it's playoff week.
And your resume has a history of being...
Yes. If this was the Packers, would be a story. That's how it goes. They are... Steelers are favored by 5.5, according to Fox Bet. I am very nervous about this game. Well, I mean, I'm emotionally involved. And also, I talk a lot of trash about Cleveland. So, you know, I think the Steelers will win, but I'm nervous.
Yeah, I kind of feel like Steelers and Rams plus 4.5, Steelers minus 5 feel like strong plays to me. I actually think, I don't know why, sometimes I don't have the courage to just say, like when it comes to betting, I kind of feel like Baltimore is going to destroy Tennessee, but I just can't say it on the air. Baltimore's been on fire for 5 weeks. Tennessee is a completely week-to-week, quarter-to-quarter is a different team. But I would say, first of all, Pittsburgh should win because they have a head coach who's been here multiple times and a quarterback. If you're just going on experience, which does matter in the playoffs, Pittsburgh should win this game based on that.
No, I do think that they will. And obviously, Kevin Stefanski being out with COVID is a major factor. Like, they have a lot more to overcome, the Browns do, than the Steelers. But again, this is playoff football, and you never know what's going to happen. I feel the strongest about Bucks Washington that the Buccaneers will win, and Saints Bears.
Yes.
Pretty much every other game. Obviously, the Bills beating the Colts, but... Listen, I got you off the hook.
There's going to be an upset this weekend.
Yes.
There's going to be one.
Yep. It's finding what it is.
I keep your eye on Rams over Seattle.
Well,
Seattle's offense is, they cannot throw the ball the last month.
The Rams are still waiting to see if Jared Goff will be able to play in Saturday's game against the Seahawks. Sean McVay said Goff's recovery is coming along well, but no decision has been made about whether he will start.
You know what? I like this because John Wolford, I'd put him in like Taysom Hill for about 6 to 8 plays in the red zone. All that running stuff, Seattle hasn't seen it.
He can move.
And Seattle struggles with mobile quarterbacks.
McVay also went one step further to say he will not be announcing their starters this week, but Goff will get the nod if he's healthy.
Yeah.
Jamal Adams will also be a game day decision for Seattle. Pete Carroll said he's optimistic Adams will play, but they'll have to see how he feels over the next few days. Seahawks are favored by 3.5, according to Fox Bet.
3.5 now?
Very
I still think the
game.
Rams are the better bet. I think the Rams are the better bet.
So Trevor Lawrence made it official today. He announced he is leaving Clemson and will enter the 2021 NFL draft. He finishes his Clemson career 3rd in passing yards and 2nd in touchdown passes in school history. He led the Tigers to a national championship in 2018 and only lost 2 games as the team's starter.
One of them to the best college team arguably ever.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I mean, this is not surprising, obviously. We knew he was going to go to the NFL. I know he you know, kept his leverage by saying he wasn't sure what he was going to do, but obviously this was the way to go. I don't love that Jacksonville job, even with Trevor Lawrence. I just don't. I don't feel great about it.
When's the last time you said to yourself, Jaguars, great job? Never.
I mean, their defense a couple years ago, but I never felt good about Blake Bortles.
I don't. And also, I went to a Super Bowl there one time. It's a college football. It's just not even it's just a college football high school market. They don't like in Green Bay, if you go on a 2-game losing streak, you can't go to the grocery store. In New Orleans, there is something to be said about passion in a market forcing organizations. Why didn't they fire Doug Marrone earlier? Because nobody cares. Why didn't they? So the bottom line here is when you get these crazy town fan bases, it forces the owner to hear it. That's why you get teams like the Mets are constantly shuffling through people. The Boston, one of the great advantages to the Northeast with baseball is the fans are so demanding. Same with the South in college football. Out here in Los Angeles with Clay Helton, it's like,
There's just higher standards. Whatever. I just think with Jacksonville, and you were talking about this earlier, they have no culture. So you have to bring in someone who's going to build a culture there. And I don't think it's fair to be skeptical about it. To your point, what have you seen from Jacksonville? It's the same with Cleveland's. Like, I think Stefanski's done an incredible job with them. Honestly, still with the Bills. Like, the Bills have been unbelievable this year. They still need to get over that playoff hump. Lamar Jackson needs to win a playoff game. Like, there comes a point where you need to take the next step. And Jacksonville getting the number one overall pick in Trevor Lawrence, who everyone thinks is going to be a legendary player.
Right.
He's still not enough.
Yeah, rabid fan bases are, to some degree, the gatekeepers of the franchise.
Yes.
Alabama fans are the gatekeepers. They are the ones that got Mike Price fired quick, or they get whoever it is. So Jacksonville, nobody cares. And so you can just, I see it all the time in Los Angeles with college football. I'm like, boy, I'd make a change there. Lakers, Dodgers. I don't want to, fan base. Sometimes knuckleheads are really good to keep your teams honest. Keep your owner honest.
Hold their feet to the fire.
Yeah, enjoy the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live
LeVar
News.
Arrington's around the corner. I can't get over it. Aaron Rodgers, according to Pro Football Focus, had the best year. Tom Brady, too. Where's Patrick Mahomes? I can barely find him on the list. Where? I can't even find him. By the way, Derek Carr, who I like and you don't, 8. I like Derek Carr.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Played a long time in the NFL and a 3-time Pro Bowler. LeVar Arrington. Last time Washington won a football game, he was a star of it. He had 10 tackles, a pick, forced fumble. He was like, great. LeVar Arrington's now joining us live as we get ready for the wild card weekend. So let me ask you this. Baker Mayfield, should I say, doesn't have a guard, doesn't have his coach. I mean, come on, you can't win a playoff game that way. And I think to myself, Lamar Jackson hasn't had Ronnie Stanley in 2 months. He's had the best December of his life. It hadn't hurt him at all. You're going to give Baker a pass?
You don't get a pass because, I mean, if you got a pass, then you don't play the game. You still have to go out there and you still have to perform no matter what the given circumstances are that you're facing going into each game. That's the beauty of a team sport, is it's always the next guy up. So Baker doesn't get a pass. He gets an opportunity, and that opportunity is to show that he further deserves more credit and more respect added to his name, or the conversation continues through the offseason into next season as to can he do better than what he did this year.
So I want to talk, Joy and I just talked about Jacksonville, and we said, when's the last time you said Jacksonville was a great job? It's nothing against them, and everybody knows Trevor Lawrence is good. But to me, I look at the Chargers, and I'm like, good GM, good quarterback. They were the playoffs 2 years ago. Hell, they just ended with a four-game winning streak, and it's also Los Angeles. Free agents like it here. You tell me, is Trevor Lawrence enough to get you to go to Jacksonville as a coach?
No. No. No.
Yeah.
And no again.
All right.
And you want to know why? I mean, look at this. I always do this when I come on and we talk about Jacksonville. Until at least Fred Taylor, goes into the Hall of Fame, and then you can add Tony Boselli to that name, and then we can start having different guys connected, Mark Brunell, in the conversation of at least consideration. Until there is something, Colin, that says – we need to respect Jacksonville as a market. It could be a great addition, adding Trevor Lawrence to this team. But no one cares. If the tree falls in the forest and no one is there to hear it, I don't know that it makes – I believe it makes a noise, but there are a lot of people that would debate whether it made a noise or not. And if Fred Taylor isn't in the Hall of Fame – then what does it matter what Trevor Lawrence does outside of something, anything short of a Super Bowl? And they haven't been able to do that in Jacksonville yet. I don't even know that a Super Bowl makes Jacksonville relevant. I love the fact that people holler Duval and Duval County and Duval this, Duval that. But Colin, I don't think that Trevor Lawrence is big enough. I don't think there's one player that's big enough. If they had a basketball team, I don't know that LeBron James would be big enough to make Duval matter enough in the grand schemes of it being an attractive job to have.
By the way, what do you do with Tua? Do you move off him in Miami or not? He doesn't appear to have a lot of it factor, but he's certainly, he can play. What do you do if you have the Dolphins' third pick, which they'll never, by the way, have again with Brian Flores as head coach?
I think you got to stick it out with him. I think that this was a unique situation coming into a COVID year with Tua. I know you'll probably argue that he's showing a lower ceiling, a ceiling that doesn't call for a Super Bowl, Colin. But you got to really think about if that's the case, then we could judge Dan Marino, who's probably considered to be the best quarterback that Miami's had since landing Tua. I mean, if we want to throw in Jay Feely or a couple other guys, I don't know who we put in there, but not Jay Feely. Is it Jay? Yeah, Jay Feely. I just don't know. I don't know that Miami has ever been good, really good in the 90s and now in the 2000s. So you took Tua with a very high draft pick. I think you got to ride it out and see if he's the guy for your team, even if you're not going to get another crack at that high of a pick for a quarterback at that position. I think Tua is a quality, and I think they should spend a little more time putting more into developing him and developing the team. Build your offensive line, add a couple weapons, tight end, add some receivers, some definite linemen to your team, and I think that you can see Tua take a larger step than maybe what has impressed you so far.
You had a legendary college coach in Joe Paterno. Nobody ever viewed him as an NFL coach. You had some very good NFL coaches who maybe don't work as well at college. Urban mm-hmm. Meyer, does he, regardless of where he goes, do you think it works in the NFL?
It's a great question, and I think it's a question that everybody wants an answer to. The one thing about one thing I've learned about Urban, Coach Meyer, since being at FS1 is the type of person that he is. I heard so many rumors and reports, and I had to make and base my opinions and my assessments and assumptions off of just reports. But to know the man is to understand why he has such great success. I think his ability to connect with the people that he's coaching, with the people that he's coaching with, is so unique to the greats that are able to capture the imagination, to garner the buy-in. He's so good at it that I do think that if he went to the right organization and you didn't have people meddling into what it is that he's doing or making him uncomfortable with allowing him to do his job, I think Urban Meyer could win at the pro level. Just yeah. as much as he did at the college level.
Pro Football Focus took every snap. They rated Patrick Mahomes the fourth best quarterback. Now, that's not saying he's the fourth most talented, but I don't think he's played well for a month and a half. I mean, you've been watching. Okay, so you agree. I mean, I've watched for the last 5 weeks. I don't think he's playing great football.
Yeah, I think he's shown vulnerability, and I think that teams realize that, and I think that they're playing to what they believe is his vulnerabilities. So he's not void of any scrutiny. He's not untouchable. In fact, he's not even the MVP of the league. You would say that the MVP of the league right now, Aaron Rodgers, is untouchable in terms of criticisms and scrutiny. Now, can he do it in the playoffs? We'll see. But still, as it stands, with everything being said, they're still a one-loss team, and they don't seem to be as invincible as they were early on in the year. But with that being said, I still look at them as they're just as dangerous. They just haven't won by as large a margins, which, by the way, historically speaking, if you look at what they did last year in the playoffs, they were down a couple times and by quite a few points, might I add, and showed the ability to be able to come back and win. So this isn't new, what we're seeing from Patrick Mahomes, and probably deserving of the rating that he's received. But that by no means seems to I guess, paint the picture that he's not going to be good enough to repeat winning the Super Bowl.
LeVar Arrington, former Pro Bowler. See him on Fox Sports all the time. Good seeing you, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you having me on, Colin. You know you're my hero, so I appreciate getting a little bit of time. And hello, Joy. I hope all is well. You got a great, great co-host in Joy as well.
She's
so I appreciate
amazing.
Coming on.
You bet.
Hi, LeVar.
Thank you very much. Right. So here's Pro Football Focus, the ratings. Aaron 1, Brady 2, and it's just on grading. Just on grading. Aaron 1, Brady had the fewest turnover-worthy plays but the most air passing yards, meaning he aired it out but had the fewest. So it goes to Deshaun Watson. You know, what's funny about Deshaun is I checked out about Thanksgiving on the Texans. Tui, I mean, literally goes and watches their practice video. So Tui'd come in every Monday. It's like, you can't even believe what Deshaun looks like. It's unbelievable. He's the best player I've ever seen in my life. So I checked out. So he's third, Patrick 4, Josh Allen 5. By the way, Ryan Tannehill and Russell Wilson tie for 6 and 7. Tannehill, listen, man, that whole Adam Gase thing. Tannehill's a Pro Bowler since leaving Adam Gase. That's one of the reasons I think Sam Darnold can pop. Tannehill's now really, really good. Go the extra mile. Go to FoxSportsRadio.com until January 24th, the ultimate tailgate rig sweepstakes. FoxSportsRadio.com. Check it out.